Hello and welcome to Mediumship Matters with me, Hannah McIntyre. How you diddly doing? I'm feeling pretty good. I just had my 41st and a half birthday party and I had to push through. As always, I think everything in life is a journey, isn't it? So it was supposed to be a 40 and a half because my birthday's Christmas Day and everyone's always busy, and then I thought it would be nice to have one in the summer. And then, of course, due to the dreaded virus, couldn't do it last year and nearly chickened out. Thought, oh, it's getting ridiculous now. It's just silly. My negative naysayer, Celeste is her name. I might have mentioned her before, but she got control and she started saying, no one wants to come to your party. And I had such a journey with it, of sort of having to force myself to go ahead with it and forcing myself to take up space. And isn't that a theme, if ever we heard one, of it's okay to invite people to a party. It's okay to ask them to turn up and show up for you, and the ones that matter really will. And I had some very interesting lessons in that. I mean, I know people are in a really difficult time and interesting space at the moment, but some really amazing people came to be with me. I was so touched. Just came to say hi. People I haven't seen since before lockdown, people who travelled from Wales, people who really put in a lot of effort. And then there were people that I thought I was really close to, who sent messages just saying things on the night when I'd already paid for their food after they said yes, that they would come. I'm tired and things like that. So there's some always good lessons, guys, even in the ouchies. But with the people that came, I had just an amazing time. And I'm so grateful to all of them for putting the effort in and coming and hanging out and, eating food and dancing and having a good time. So I'm a little skitty this morning from that, because I go to bed at 9:30 normally, and that was a late one. And so it's been really interesting. And then I recorded a whole podcast and got an alert when it had finished that it had missed massive chunks of audio. So that one obviously wasn't supposed to go out. So this is the second attempt, and we're going to go down a different route and try talking about some different things and see what happens. Now, the first thing I wanted to talk about today is I'm going to reply to Karen Hall. Now, Karen has listened to the podcast where I just asked about crystals and props for healing and whether we actually need them. And it's funny, this episode, I thought I was going to have an inbox full of furious spiritual people telling me I'm an asshole. And what I ended up with was lots of people messaging me saying, yes, exactly this, what's going on? And they're not precious. They're just being ripped out of the ground more and more and more and more. So it's really interesting. But Karen had some really lovely points that I wanted to share with you all. So let me read you her message. Hi, Hannah. Brilliant podcast. You talked about things I often wonder myself. As a shamanic practitioner, I have a lot of tools, rattles, feathers, stones, messer cloths. What's a messer cloth? I've never heard of that. And so on. Being the practical person I am, I early on asked my mentor if all these props were really necessary. And she basically said, not really. As healing practitioners, we can and oftentimes do channel healing energy without all these tools, crystals included. However, I believe that the sanctity of ceremony is what's important here. In my practice, there is a palpable sacred energy that builds when I use my rattle and my feather. My client and I are wrapped in this immense energy field as our individual energies and the source energy create a synergistic effect, and it makes the healing session all the more powerful. Perhaps for some practitioners, crystals do the same. I akin it to birthday parties for my kids. No, they don't need the birthday cake or the candles or the balloons or the wrapped presents or a celebratory party, if we're being honest. But all of those extras combined with the excited, positive energy of the partygoers is what makes it a special human experience. celebration, wonder, and most importantly, love. As a healing practitioner, building that energy and sharing in those same moments, those same feelings with a client is what it's all about for me. That's my experience, and I just wanted to share. Thanks again for your beautiful podcast and your practical way of looking at all things spiritual. First of all, Karen, thanks for saying my podcast is beautiful. I really felt like I was sucking all of the beauty out of spirituality and just leaving you guys with a dry, husky, crispy kind of spirituality. So that's really lovely to hear. Now, I agree with everything you're saying. And then I also don't. So you will know I've done a tiny dalliance with shamanism. I've got a rattle, I've got a drum, I've got feathers, and I bloody love my drum. I love it. It's so powerful. But is it powerful, or is it just that I believe it's powerful? Is there a power in the noise it creates in the physical to unlock us into an energy that's already there? Probably. Same with the rattle. Completely get that. But I know that the shamans that I worked with on that course were very particular about where they sourced their skins from and how they were prepared and how the animals were treated. Very particular. In fact, rejecting a skin that they'd received and not letting any of us use it. Very, very precise in the honouring of it. And I just don't know if a crystal that's been carved into the human's idea of what an angel looks like is that same level of sanctity and ceremony that you speak of. And I'm sure for some people it is, but that's just where my question is. If we're destroying the planet to bring these crystals up and out of it, to then chuck them in a healing room, is that a ceremony? I mean, I guess if you asked the deer that died to make my drum, they probably would prefer to be alive. So I'm not judging, I'm just asking. I'm just chucking it out there. This reminded me of something that one of my crazy experiences I have, which I think I had filed in the chest in my brain, labelled what the fuck, and just left it there. And it's just suddenly popped back out, completely forgotten it. But I was doing a meditation in some woods once when an energy came to communicate with me that my mind was perceiving as a sprite or an elf type energy, like something out of a Jim Henson movie. And that sprite was angry. They were so angry. And they were talking about the way that we treat resources on this planet. And they were talking, they were connected to trees. They were communicating with the trees. And they said that we chop down the trees and destroy the trees so that we can print our own words on the trees. But there is no word in the human language, in any language ever spoken, that is the same level of, I don't know, see, I haven't got the word for it, consciousness that the trees themselves have. And I mean, they were so angry, they spat on the floor when they were talking to me. I remember it so clearly, even though I'd completely forgotten it until just now. But this... is this a good point, isn't it? It's a good point that we are destroying resources, even if we're printing a spiritual book on it. I mean, I'm not just talking about 50 Shades of Grey here. I'm talking about my Oracle card collection, which is extensive and massive. Is this the problem, really? Is it the greed of it? Is it that I got obsessed with crystals, so many so that I had ones in storage that I wasn't even looking at or using? That's greed, isn't it? I've been greedy. I've got tons of oracle cards, more than I will ever need. That's greed. And I guess that's the problem. Is it? I don't know. Am I overthinking it? I'm sure I am, but it's just really interesting to sit with. And I do know that I've decided, unless there's some particular momentous call from a crystal, I won't be buying. I'm not seeking crystals anymore because I have enough. I know that I have enough. Most of you will know that I'm an angelic Reiki teacher. And that was really interesting. Same thing again. Over lockdown, they developed some more courses and I signed up for one of them. And in that, in order to be able to heal people, you needed to buy this particular set of crystals in the shapes of sacred geometry. Even stuff like that, I don't get it. If angelic Reiki is pure in its conception and delivery and is the perfect level of healing, why do we then need to be, why do we then need to be buying specialist shapes? I don't know. I mean, I have done. I'm not judging anybody that does. I'm wondering. And I agree with you with what you're saying, Karen. On the flip side, I would love for you, when you're ready, sometime just to do an experiment and try without any of the tools and see what happens. Because I healed somebody last week and I just went into a sort of semi-trance state as I do. And the angels came in and they did all the healing and I didn't even move. And the energy in this space, I swear you could have cut it with a knife. It was so strong and so powerful and so physical. And I did absolutely diddly squat. Although I do have my drum and my rattle and my feather and my crystals in here. I'm not doing my healing session in an industrial unit. So there's got to be something to be said for that. I notice it in audiences. If you want to have a more receptive audience, something Amanda and I have really discovered in all the DEMs that I've been doing is the venue makes a massive, massive difference. You want to have a venue that feels nice, that feels interesting, that feels special in some way, because that helps. So there's loads to be thinking about and chewing over and always questioning. And I just want to reiterate, really, I think it's so important that we even just ask the questions. I think it's so amazing that Karen can message me and offer her opinion and we can both respect each other's place and understand that this is a collaboration rather than me attacking her beliefs or her attacking mine. It's just such an important way to be. And I'm not going to say it because I know if I do that Lynette will message me on my Instagram and tell me off. I'm not going to say I don't know anything, Lynette, don't worry. But I am going to say I do appreciate that I know a lot, but I also, the more I learn, the more that I know that there is to learn. And I think that even asking the questions is a good thing. We are opening up to a new wave of spirituality, a new order of mediumship. And part of that is about us just asking. Because things are changing. And I do believe personally, it's the will of the spirit world that more people know that they're there, can connect to them, can feel their presence. I think, even though I don't believe in timelines and this linear version of time that we live in, I still believe that there is growth for the human race where we can be more heart-centered, where we can live in a more open sisterhood with spirit, where they're just there and present and with us and not separate. So, yeah, I think it's good to ask because I think that the asking opens us up and it might not be that these questions are all fully answered for our generation of mediums, but for the next generation of mediums or the one after that, the fact that we've asked might be enough for them to get the answer. And so that's pretty cool, it's pretty cool that we're breaking down these barriers. And that's why I love you guys messaging in, because it is a collaboration of thoughts. It's your soul speaking to my soul, who's speaking to my consciousness, and trying to work out how we feel and what we know and what we don't know. And yeah, it's fun. One of my really good friends, her husband, is a very opinionated gentleman, and is especially bad when he's had a drink. And we got in from my party on Saturday night, and I'm not sure if the word fraud was used, but it was certainly, he made it very, very clear that there is no spirit world, that I'm making it all up, and that the only reason I'm doing this is for money, which was particularly charming. But interestingly, just didn't bother me. It just didn't faze me. I think I've had so many people be rude to me online now that I was just like, oh, whatever. But what was interesting was somebody else, one of my friends, decided to sort of argue with him. I couldn't even be bothered to argue with him. I just went, okay, you're not in a space where you're ready to receive an answer, so I'm not really going to bother. They were arguing with him and explaining why he was wrong, and also saying that they weren't a full believer, but that they understand that I'm a person with ethics and integrity. And then as he progressed, he then started saying, well, I would like a reading, but I want you to get through somebody in particular who I'm thinking of, and if you can prove to me that they're still around, then I'll believe you. Thank you for your offer, but no thank you. But the interesting thing about all of that was just that lovely, timely reminder from all you lovely people that have emailed me about that Ouch podcast, Lorelli and Ellen and Nicole, you lovely, lovely people. There were so many of you that took the time to message. But that was just proof in motion that even in my own home, with somebody that has eaten food that I have provided and drunk drinks that I have paid for and danced to the band that I have chosen, even somebody who knows me and has known me for 16 years, can still just come out with that and think that it's okay to say it, is just the proof that you, again, with what we were talking about the other day, you can't recruit for the spirit world. And there's a real power in just going, whatever. And I cannot think of anybody on this planet that I would rather give a reading to less. And that's okay too, because he's just not ready. And there's a real power for me now in knowing that I'm not going to put myself in that kind of position, because if you're not ready to receive a message you will not receive. And there is nothing I can do about that, but that's comfortable that I know that. So, yeah, interesting times, always so much to learn and unfold. And that was funny that he did that when tonight I'm recording Mediumship Natters with the girls, and we're going to be talking about coming out to your family and telling them about it and how that went down for people. And I think that these things are all important and useful. People are sent to try us. And I know that we hear in spiritual circles, you should forgive, you should hold a space of love for them. And I do agree with that where possible. But I also think that it's very important to be comfortable with saying no, with saying I'm not interested, with not allowing somebody into your energy, with letting those people go. And I've had such, again, just a reminder about that. Sometimes I have pulled myself over hot coals for people who are people I thought were friends of mine, who just didn't have a problem with not even turning up to my birthday party when they said that they'd come, and not even telling me they weren't coming. I got people messaging me the next day going, sorry about that. And that's okay. That's more of a sign of where they're at. But these are, again, all these kind of lessons. And you have to get to a space where you almost don't take it personally. I don't take it personally that he doesn't believe. I don't take it personally that my uncle said to my mum, does she really believe that she's communicating with the spirit world? As if I didn't, and I'm just out there defrauding everybody. I don't know where his brain was going with that. But it doesn't matter to me, because I know what I believe and I know how that has helped me. And if they're not ready, they're not ready. Which leads to another question here. What if they're actually readier than me? What if these people are doing the will of spirit to get us into the place that we need to be for our development? What if all of the people that are pissing you right off right now are doing spirit's work? What if you need to be triggered so that you can resolve what's rising in you? What if you need somebody to say the rude things to you in your own home, in your own space, at your birthday party, so that next time a stranger says it to you, you've got that resilience and it doesn't get in the same way? What if the most spiritual thing that can ever happen to any of us is that somebody who doesn't believe in spirituality and doesn't believe in the spirit world holds us to account? What if that is the greatest purpose of all? And actually, there's something in that, isn't there? There's something in being held accountable. And I really noticed it when I was at college the other week, because of course you don't go to college to receive a reading. Of course you don't. But by the time you've got to Friday, and you've got one day left, and you've done a whole week of reading for other people and really trying to make those connections and really trying to make things happen, and then somebody gives you a message that is just doesn't sit right with you and isn't a communicator, and it's just, what if the best thing we can actually do is be held accountable to a standard by a non-believer? Now, that doesn't mean that I want loads of nights like Maidstone, and that's not what I'm manifesting for myself. But what if actually that is necessary? It is necessary to get to a place where you are comfortable, so comfortable in your connection, that you are not rallied in the same way by someone who doesn't believe, and you just understand that it's their journey, and you can sit with them and their nasty judgmental energy with their arms folded and not let it take you out of your power. And the only way you're going to get to that is to be pushed by people like that repeatedly until you grow a thicker skin, till you get a stronger boundary. That's literally the only way you can learn that, isn't it? I don't think anyone rocks up fully formed. I was watching the J-Lo documentary on Netflix at the weekend. And, you know, she talks in it very openly about how her mother beat them. And her mum is on it saying, yep, I wasn't a great mum. I had a lot going on. But J-Lo also accounts that with being tough. And look at your relationships and the people in your lives and how you've got to where you are. I guarantee if you're the one that sought out the call of the spirit world, there will be trauma in some form in your life that led you to question, is there more? And actually, if we look at relationships and people, it's often the people that are given the most attention and given everything on a silver plate that have the least resilience, that have the least self-esteem, that cannot function in life, because essentially everyone doing it for them has taught them that basically that means that everybody doesn't believe they can do it. I think that most of us found spirituality through the pain of being a human. So what if the most spiritual thing anybody could do is try to dim your shine? Is to be unkind to you? Is to push you into being unkind yourself? So that you can sit with the fractures that you have created in your own energy and the things that you have allowed into your own energy so that you can grow and learn and become different. What if the greatest gift that I got on my birthday was someone being a knob to me in my own home? Because I can now recognize, even though I'm talking about it, I'm not actually bothered. I'm not bothered. I'd see him again. I know he's a knob when he's been drinking. That's who he is. But there was a time when things that he said would sit with me and they would leave and I would cry and be so devastated afterwards. And now I'm just like, whatever. It says more about you than it does about me. But what if that's such a gift that I can recognize that that's where I'm at now? What if that was what I needed? What if the spirit world thought the greatest thing that we can give Hannah for her birthday is proof of how much she's changed? Let's make that happen. It could also just be that he's a complete dick. But, well, you know. But it's always really interesting just to sit and think about it and wonder if there's more than meets the eye, which of course we know there always is. Yeah, so more growing, more learning, more refinement. And I have to be honest, I asked for this. This is what I want, always. I want to be the best medium that I can be. And I want to be able to go on tour next year. I want to be able to come out and meet you all. I want to be able to come and do those things. I was really excited about it. I still want to do it. And in order to do that, maybe the best gift that I can have is to get bruised a little bit in 2022 so that when 2023 hits, I'm ready. One of the greatest lessons spirit ever gave me was a night in my home, which I'm sure I've mentioned to you, where I had invited people over for mediumship and I got nothing but no's all night long. All night long, nothing but no's and sympathetic faces. But actually, after deciding I was going to quit mediumship and having a sulk, when I got back to it, I wasn't afraid of no's anymore because I'd done the worst possible manifestation of what could happen if you were afraid of no's, a whole night of it, and no spirits taken and no evidence understood. So I survived that and I got back on the horse. So now when somebody says no, it doesn't pull me out of my power. It used to completely pull me out of it. I'd lose all my connection with spirit because I'd go, oh my God, I'm a fraud. I knew I was a fraud. Ah. Whereas now I go, okay, well, and I'll go back to the spirit world and go, was that you or was that me? And they'll go, normally it was you. And I'll go, oh, I made that up. And sometimes they go, nope, you were right. They just don't understand it. And the evidence will come in later. So there's so many ways that we need to be refined so that we can work. So sit with that and let me know what you think. Does this make sense to you? Do you understand what I mean? And send me your messages and your thoughts, because the more of you that do, the more that we can collaborate together, the more that we can learn, the more that we can grow. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful day.